Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, it's 09, and I think things are going to be fine. Now, you know I'm normally kind of a pessimist. This is the Savage Nation. But, you know, I really have, I'm having a good year. Actually, I'm having a fine year. I'm still eating three meals a day. I'm driving a couple of new cars. Let's see. I don't see the doom and gloom. I think a lot of it has to do with the bums on Wall Street who are being bailed out by their friends who left Wall Street to go to work for Obama after having worked for whatever his name was, Bush. Bailing each other out, I mean, and giving out boondoggles like tattoo removal boondoggles. Wait till you hear what's in the latest bill. I swear to God, there is money in the latest bill from Barack Hussein Obama, the anointed one, the honest one, the more generous one. There is $200,000 earmarked for tattoo removal violence prevention outreach programs. There's a Maine lobster earmark in the omnibus program. There's $5.8 million earmark for the Ted Kennedy Institute for the Senate for the planning and design of a building and an endowment. That's just for the planning and design of the building, $5.8 million, for the Ted Kennedy Institute for the Senate. Now, the reason there's so much money is that apparently they have to plan and design a model of Chappaquiddick Bridge and Creek and have a mock-up made of Mary Jo Kopechne's remains and the car and make it look authentic as it goes into the river, and they have to design a kind of robot to make it look like Ted Kennedy swimming to save her instead of running away. The National Council of the Racists, La Raza, is getting $473,000 as a reward for not being white, black, or Asian. That's right, $473,000 for one race. La Raza. $2 million for the promotion of astronomy in Hawaii. I'm not kidding you. $400,000 to combat bullying. $400,000 to combat bullying. Well, that's really very noble. How about this one? $214,000 for Stony Brook University, quote, to teach scientists how to effectively communicate with the public and the press. What? That's amazing. Well, anyway, these are some of the things in Barack Obama's earmarks, the earmarks in Obama's bill. And I say 09 will be fine. I have a good feeling about it. I'm doing well. I don't know what the doom and gloom is. I guess they want to run you into fearing that you have to spend in order to save. I don't understand that part of it. That's the headline on my website, michaelsavage.com, which is that B.O. will B.S. us tonight. B.O. will B.S. U.S. tonight, or B.O. will B.S. us tonight, and tell us in order to save the economy, he's got to destroy the economy. It's along the lines of we got to kill for peace. Remember that in the 60s? We got to kill for peace. We got to kill for peace. Remember you had to destroy a village to save it under Johnson, the other Democrat warmonger? Well, under Obama, we have to spend to save. I don't know how that works. In my life, I figured out if I wanted to save, I had to save, not spend. But according to Hussein's economic plan, I don't know where he gets it from, apparently guys from Harvard who never worked for a living, apparently they think if you spend, you save. Well, that leads us to another problem here. As I say, 09 will be fine. I think I'm going to become an optimist during a period of pessimism. Since I was a pessimist during the years of optimism, I think I will now be an optimist during a year of pessimism because, frankly, things are good. I'm not kidding. I got a call out of the blue this morning from a filmmaker. Remember 2 years ago I told you I was going to do the Michael Savage story? And then I kind of talked to other filmmakers, and I got distribution, then I dropped it. And I went on and wrote Psychological Nudity, and I didn't really want to do it. I swear to you, I got a call out of the blue from the filmmaker who did the Reagan DVD. Actually, a great one. He's a fabulous documentarian. And we're talking again, and I may do it. I said, why not? He said, you don't even understand how important you are. you don't understand that 50 years from now you're going to be remembered as a great man. I said, please, I'm good at what I do, but I'm not a great man. He said, don't underestimate yourself. He said, don't let your detractors define you. He said, the millions of people who listen to you define you, not the detractors who are attempting to define you. He said, do you realize what you have in your archive should be in a locked vault like in, you know, Iron Mountain? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you have thousands of footage of you in the Fiji Islands collecting plants as a young ethnobotanist with your young family. He said, you can't reproduce that stuff. He said, you have hundreds of hours of audio tape of you on the radio going back all these years, all edited and ready to go. He said, that should be locked up in a vault. He said, have you any idea? He said, I did Reagan's movie. He said, I know what you're doing here, how important it is. So that's number two. And then he said, what about all the events you ran in the past, the video you have of that with the audience at the various and sundry places you appeared? He said, that you have a movie already made, fundamentally. So I think we're going to do this in the 09. I was speaking with someone in New York who's very powerful, who had a best-selling movie last year. And he said, absolutely, you have an audience for this. So I think I'm going to do the movie this year. Which leads me to the doom and gloom. The newspapers are going broke, so they want you to think that everyone's going broke. The Hearst Corporation, for example, today said it's going to close the San Francisco Chronicle unless they can cut. What did they say? Our goal will be to retain our essential and well-read content. They said, without changes, we're seeking to, across the entire Chronicle organization, we'll have no choice but to quickly seek a buyer. There are no buyers. And should a buyer not be found, to shut down the newspaper. I frankly think it would be a disaster for me if they shut down the San Francisco Chronicle. A, I would lose a phenomenal, laughing stock of a newspaper to abuse every day, number one. Secondly, all of these losers will be in the cafes plotting the revolution, and God knows the cafes are already overflowing, and the poor people who own the cafes can't afford to have any more coffee cups robbed. This is amazing to me. You know, you see this newspaper, they keep blaming it on a downturn in the economy, and of course, there's a part truth to that, which is that newspapers are dying because there's a loss of advertising revenue. But how do you explain that I'm thriving in talk radio? That's with the boycotts, that's with the people lying about me. How is it that this show has actually grown? Why is talk radio booming while newspapers are dying? Well, you know the answer. I don't have to tell you again. The reason the Chronicle in San Francisco is dying was actually stated by Mark Twain a long time ago. Mark Twain wrote, the miner came in 49, the whore in 51. They rolled upon the barroom floor, then came the native son. Now I say, well, what are you saying there? Have you read these newspapers lately? First of all, in San Francisco, it's an anomaly amongst anomalies. All they do is report on people who actually voted against homosexual marriage as though that's a crime for exercising your right to vote. It's become nothing but promoting gay marriage day in and day out. A real murder like the elevator homicide they won't report on, because the woman without a hat, the police commissioner, the police chief who cannot find a hat, which is a movie unto itself, will not say that there's an investigation ongoing about the Jew who so-called fell down an elevator shaft on the way to an Arabic lesson. Now, anywhere on earth, I would say even in Saudi Arabia, if a Jew went to an Arabic lesson and the Arabic lesson was surprisingly canceled and he was found at the bottom of an elevator shaft, that would be a major homicide investigation. But in San Francisco, where the mayor, Annie Toussaint Newsom, wants to keep the number of homicides to below 100, it's hovering at 98. Even though they found another body washed up a while ago on the shore out at Ocean Beach. He didn't declare it a homicide. It was declared something else. I guess it was death by seagull. And that's because he didn't want to be known as the mayor who was mayor while 100 people died in his city, you know, from homicides. So that's another reason that they're covering up the homicide investigation. And primarily because it's not a homicide investigation. They've declared it a suicide. I know a very important, powerful attorney who's been trying to get the autopsy report of the elevator murder, the elevator homicide of the Jewish activist who was found at the bottom of a elevator shaft on the way to an Arabic lesson in San Francisco, and he can't get the autopsy report. It's way out of my hands. There were dozens of people saying, how could this be in any city in America? Even the most corrupt city under Marion Barry, in his heyday, this would be considered an open homicide investigation. But that gives you an example of why the newspaper is dying. This story, Jew found at bottom of elevator shaft on way to Arabic lesson, would be a banner headline, not who voted on Proposition 8. And that's why they're going out of business. It's not just the loss of advertisers. It's the loss of any editorial integrity. They're not a newspaper anymore. It's like a college rag that functions as though it has no, no bills to meet, no payroll to meet, no readers to circulate amongst except the gay community and the Latino community. That's it. That's their audience. When in fact, the larger audience doesn't buy the paper anymore. They're tired of it. That's why I say Mark Twain may have been right when he said, the miner came in 49, the whore in 51. They rolled upon the barroom floor, then came the native son. At 30 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation, we're going to go to straight conspiracy theories because I was shocked the other day as I watched CNN. There's a clown reporter on it amongst clowns. He's sort of he's the Clarabelle of Clarabelles on CNN. His name is Rick Sanchez. For a while, I thought he was a serious journalist, and I had hoped that they actually hired someone who would do a reasonable job. But they ran a whole piece on one of the Shelby, Senator Shelby, saying that he didn't think Obama was a citizen. And then blah, 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 blah. And this guy, Rick Sanchez on CNN, says, can you imagine coming up with a thing like that, that Obama's not a citizen? And then one of his producers, one of the guys with the curly hair and the big eyeglasses from NYU, one of the smart guys in the back, one of the, lifetime red diaper dopa baby Marxist who went to a commie camp in the Poconos as a child and then got a job at CNN as a lifer, said, here's a copy of Obama's birth certificate, so there. Well, guess what? Not so fast, Ricky boy. It's not actually his birth certificate, as you'll find, because at 3:30, we have the former Assistant Attorney General of the state of Pennsylvania, Philip Berg, who is actually suing the president for his birth certificate, which no one has ever seen. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You got to be careful with what you say. And let me show you how easy it is to do it. I mean, look at this. Robert, can you shoot this? You want to see the president's birth certificate? Here it is. You know how we got this? One of my producers, Dexter, just went in, Googled it, and got it from the Los Angeles Times. The story's all over the place when it was out there. You would think, couldn't he do that before you say something that could be construed this way?
Well, the reason, Ricky boy, is that a couple hundred thousand people have signed the petition to see the actual birth certificate of Obama because no one's seen it. No one's actually seen it, Ricky. You see, you're no longer, in your own mind, even a reasonable news presenter, Rick. We had hopes for you. We thought someone on CNN might step out from the pack of left-wing shills, but you didn't make it. You didn't make the cut, Rick. And at 3:30 today, you'll be hearing the former attorney, the Assistant Attorney General of the state of Pennsylvania, legitimate man, Democrat, by the way, big liberal Democrat, Philip Berg, who says Obama's not a citizen and no one has seen his birth certificate and it's all a sham. And the reason we're going to do it is because I'm not going to let this story simply die because a flack on CNN says it's over. It's not over. It's just beginning. Now, if it turns out that Obama really isn't a citizen, well, we could also say, so what? He's such a wonderful president, knowing how to save the economy and knowing how to send troops to Afghanistan while not calling it war, that maybe we should be glad that we have him as president. Whenever I bring this up, people say to me, well, was Bush any better? Well, my answer is I never was a supporter of Bush. For 8 straight years, I was quite a critic of Bush. So don't tell me I was a supporter of Bush. I'm not Sean Hannity, and I'm not Rush Limbaugh. Don't put me in the same bucket with them. That's the bucket list over there, you know. I mean, they're nice guys. I wish them well. I'm glad they do a good job 80% of the time. But they carry the water for the Republican Party, and I don't, and I never have. You know, 80% of the time, they're on the right side of things. I can't say the same thing for the weasel, Leprechaun. That's why you threw him off the radio. I couldn't believe it. Last night, the Leprechaun actually had Geert Wilders on, and he attacked him. He took the side of radical Islamists. He took the side of gay marriage, and he calls himself a conservative. But then again, that's why News Corp is dying. That's why News Corp is going out of business, because of leprechauns. You can fool some of the people some of the time, Bill. And Bill, you can fool some of the people all of the time, Bill. But Bill, you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Now, I don't know what your father told you when you were a little boy growing up. But I didn't go to Harvard, Bill. I went to Queens College. Then I got a master's degree in Hawaii, then another master's degree in Hawaii. Then I earned my PhD at the University of California at Berkeley. It was published as a book, Bill. I worked very hard for my actual credentials, Bill. And you are an educated man, and you should know better. That's why I'm addressing this to you, because you're such a disappointment, Bill. But the fact of the matter is, on the streets in New York, my dad would walk with me and talk with me. We'd walk and we'd talk. We'd walk and we'd talk. That's how a father raised a son. Walk and talk. Walk and talk. Walk and talk. Walk and talk. Actions speak louder than words. He never robbed anybody in his little store. He never took a penny that wasn't his. Never took a dime of welfare. I'm sure that goes for you too, Leppy. But he said to me that there was once a great president named Lincoln who said you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And that's why News Corporation seems to be faltering right now, because they've tried to fool all of the people all of the time with the idea that they are really true conservatives, when the true conservatives know the real McCoy. They know what Borders language and culture sounds like. They know what Borders language and culture should sound like, and they're not hearing it anywhere on the News Corp grapevine. They're hearing it on the Savage Nation. Now, admittedly, I'm third in the nation on talk radio. That's good enough for me. I have no desire to be number two or number one. I don't even care if I fell to number five or ten. It wouldn't matter to me. Do you understand that I'm not in it for me anymore? I'm way past the curve of caring. I'm in it for you. I'm in it for America. Or I would have left radio maybe 2 years ago. I'm in it because I believe in what I'm saying, and I believe the message is more important now than ever before. And I believe that if men like me leave the stage, all is lost. Not just me alone. I'm not carrying the world on my shoulders. But how many guys out there like me are daring to stand up to this monstrous fraud called the Obama administration? How many people have dared stand up and put their neck out to so many other powerful lobbying interests that, as I have done? Nobody. Does that make me brave? Well, it makes me foolish as far as I'm concerned. But I'm past the age of considering the other way. I'm way past the age of considering the other way. At this point, I fear only God. And as far as I know, somebody up there likes me, and I'm going to continue to appeal to that audience in the sky. And on that note, I'll be back with Philip Berg to talk about the president's non-birth certificate for CNN and everybody else who doubts that.
Savage.
'09 will be fine. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Not doom and gloom around here. I mean, it's a great year, and I think things are going to be great in a number of ways. People are going to catch on to what socialism is and what a charlatan we have in the presidency. It's going to take a while, because you can fool all the people all of the time. No, you can't. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And I think eventually the American people, who are inherently not stupid, will wake up to this fraud called Obama. Right now, we have a registered Democrat and former Attorney General of Pennsylvania. He's got the bona fides. He's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He's not a neocon. He's not a con-con. And he says that Obama is not a citizen. At least that's what he believes. Philip Berg, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Philip, thank you.
My pleasure. Just correct one thing. Former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, you promoted me.
All right. If it was me, you would have been president. Philip, really, I dropped this issue. I know that WorldNet Daily has been running a petition on this. I figured, what's the difference already? It's a, de facto presidency. Who cares? But I got angry the other day when CNN discussed comments made by Senator Richard Shelby on when he hadn't seen Obama's birth certificate. I got very angry when they held up a piece of paper. Just listen to the soundbite, Philip, and everyone else. Just play the soundbite, guys.
You got to be careful with what you say, and let me show you how easy it is to do it. I mean, look at this. Robert, can you shoot this? You want to see the president's birth certificate? Here it is. You know how we got this? One of my producers, Dexter, just went in, Googled it, and got it from the Los Angeles Times. The story's all over the place when it was out there. You would think, couldn't he do that before you say something that could be construed this way?
Attorney General Philip Berg, is that a copy of the birth certificate that the LA Times ran?
No, it's a copy of a certification of live birth, which the Obama people put on their website in June of 2008, which has been documented by our experts to be altered. At the bottom it says if there's any alterations, it's not valid. It's a fraud. It's a phony document, and it's outrageous that they CNN did that.
Well, Rick Sanchez, for a while I had hope for him, but I couldn't believe that they would hold up a piece of paper. It's sort of like Chamberlain coming back from Munich, having met Chancellor Hitler, who told him that the Anglo-German relations were never better. And then, of course, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia soon thereafter. I would have expected a little bit more homework because this is an issue. How many people want an investigation of this, so far as you can tell?
Well, you know, there's hundreds of thousands who have signed petitions on WorldNet Daily, but there's millions of supporters that we have. This is now my eighth month going forth on this effort. We're going to continue till we expose Obama because he is a total fraud. He's a phony. This is the biggest hoax ever contemplated against the United States of America in our history. That's over 230 years. And it really is outrageous. I believe he's being blackmailed already. And wait till we see what happens when other leaders around the world. How's he being blackmailed today? Well, this
yes.
is going to be the candidate of change. Well, look at his cabinet, 70% from Bill Clinton days. But more revolting is the fact who's his Secretary of Defense? Robert Gates. I think they pulled him into a room, powers that be in this country, and said, we're going to try to stall off this Berg as long as we can. You want to be president for a while, you're going to have to play ball our way. And I really mean that, and I think that's a lot of things that are going on right now during this.
Well, you know, it's funny you should pick on Gates. He's the only one I have faith in. You and I differ on that. But the big issue is, if you say he's not a U.S. citizen, what citizen is he? A citizen of which country?
I believe he's a citizen of Indonesia. I believe that's why he has not revealed his records from Occidental College, from Columbia University, or Harvard. I believe it'll show that he's from Indonesia, that he applied for and received foreign aid.
Wait. What do you mean he hasn't revealed his credentials from Harvard? No one has seen any of his admission papers?
No one has seen. He has sealed everything. Nothing. We have seen.
What? No, a man runs for the presidency and does not have to expose his transcripts?
Nothing has been exposed. We know nothing about him.
What? I don't believe this. It's worse than I think. It's absolutely worse than I ever thought it would be. I thought you had to expose that if you run for office.
Not if you're Obama. Obama has, hidden behind everything. The word is, I'm not sure if it's, I've read that he's spent up to $1 million so far fighting all these lawsuits across the country. But we are dedicated under ObamaCrimes.com to continue our efforts. We have three pending lawsuits right now. And we're about to file a fourth. It really is outrageous right now what's going on. And I think, it's going to show. It's going to happen. Aside from the article, the LA Times, Senator Richard Shelby made remarks the other day. And now he's trying to back off from that a little bit because I guess someone got to him. He stated you have to be born in America to be president. That's not exactly so. You have to be natural born. But he made a remark, well, his father was Kenyan, and they said he was born in Hawaii, but I haven't seen any birth certificate. And later on, they've tried to cover it up a little bit now that he's seen something. But with Shelby making that remark, with the LA Times, it's going to break through. And the best, Michael.
Phil, let me interrupt you. You're listening to Philip Berg. He's a registered Democrat, a liberal Democrat at that, I sense. And he's former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, yet he says Obama's not a citizen. It's one of the great frauds of all time. Philip, how did this happen? I said while he was running that by what I saw, Obama could not even pass the clearance exams to be an FBI agent. Do you think that's true?
He couldn't even pass the clearance test to be a police officer in Chicago because of his associations with many, many undesirables.
So how did we get a left-wing radical with suspicious credentials as president? Huh? What is this conspiracy that you're alleging, Philip? Who's behind it?
Well, I'm not sure the exact person, but the national media gave him a free ride for 2 years, and even today they're like questioning him a little bit, but they've given him a free ride. They decided, I guess, they wanted Obama to be president. He was not vetted at all. I mean, look what they did to Sarah Palin. They ripped her apart for 6 weeks, and nothing against that if you're going to do that to everyone else. But when Obama says something and he does makes a misstatement, they just let it go. You know, when
you turn on CNN, they show him in noble postures. Every picture is a noble propaganda posture, something out of the ex-Soviet Union with Joseph Stalin. Have they no shame, Philip? You're a lifetime liberal Democrat. Have they no shame? Don't they give a darn about reality?
No, they should, because it's really the start to the undermining of our great nation, and we have to enforce our Constitution, and this is really outrageous what is going on.
Philip, what's in it for you? Let's clear the air. Come on, we're two realists here. What do you want to get out of this?
Just the truth. Just the truth.
If let's say it's exposed, Obama exposes non-citizen, what does Philip Burr gain?
Just satisfaction that the U.S. Constitution will be followed.
And what happens to Obama if it turns out he's not a citizen? What would happen, actually? Let's say one of your lawsuits gets heard, and they say, okay, the guy is legitimate, there is no record of it, we want to see it, and blah, 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 and it turns out he's not a citizen in the U.S. What would actually happen a year down the line?
Well, he should be removed from office, and all the legislation that he signed during that period of time is really invalid. And actually, Obama, his wife Michelle, Howard Dean, and others should all be subjected to the criminal justice system and tried, and if convicted, should go to jail. And actually,
that would be quite an unprecedented situation. I don't think that will ever happen, Philip. Don't you think that the power structure would go all the way through the Supreme Court and prevent this from happening?
That could be his plea bargain deal, but actually, if it's true what I'm alleging now, that he's not even, that he's an illegal alien, and not only not able to be president, but not able to be U.S. Senator for the past 3 years, he should actually be arrested and deported.
You really are going for the gold here, aren't you? Why are you doing this, Philip?
Because I'm doing this for the over 300 million people in this country who deserve
it. Are you sure you're not a Democrat in name only, a dino?
No, I was a committee person for 31 years, chairman of the Democratic Party in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, a member of the Democratic State Committee in Pennsylvania for 8 years, a candidate in the Democratic primaries for governor and United States Senate, and I was also a representative of a number of the conventions. I'm a solid Democrat my whole life, but you know who I'm doing this more for? Stop for a minute and think. I'm doing this for the men and women who have the tens of thousands of men and women who have died over the years and been maimed over the years defending our Constitution. That's who I'm doing this for.
No, I believe you. I just wanted to get down to brass tacks. I know people would be asking those cynical questions. In a time like this, they probably wouldn't even care if he's a citizen or not. But that's irrelevant whether the average schmo cares or not. There are laws, and you're saying it looks to you as though he's not a citizen. Forget his policies. We can even argue over those. You may even agree with some of them. I don't agree with any of them. I've never seen a man who says we must spend to save. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I never saw a man appoint so many tax dodgers and shady characters. I've never seen anything like this, and yet he's getting away with it.
Well, I think part of that is the people that are blackmailing him here in this country, and they're saying who we want put in. I mean, I really think
Wait. When you say blackmailing him, what do you mean? They know he's not a citizen, and they're saying it's status quo ante all over again? The same group is still running America?
How about when Kenya blackmails him? He was born in Kenya. Wait, how about when Iran gets the documentation, when it's sold to the highest bidder in Iran? What's going to cost us with Iran and China and Russia and Cuba? I mean, the world community knows that he was born in Kenya. The world community knows he's a phony, okay? This is the biggest hoax ever contemplated against the United States of America, and it's going to cost us plenty. We're in a constitutional crisis. Do you think we're in a financial dilemma? We're in a worse dilemma here because of this president. He's a usurper.
Well, I reported on my website a story I found, I forget from where, the other day, I think the London, a paper out of London, that said that America has become like a banana republic under Obama because the ambassador that he named to England, a Mr. Sussman, is a banker and a lawyer from Chicago who bundled hundreds of millions of dollars for Obama and was given an ambassadorship for that work. They said it's exactly as Blagojevich, pay for play. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't see that story, but, you know, I'm sure that what they got the governor of Illinois on, I'm sure Obama and his crew is right up there with it, and I can't believe it hasn't come out yet.
This is very frightening, Philip. You know, I had you on because I was going to let it go, saying, it's all conspiracy nonsense. The guys maybe believe it, but it's too late to care about it. Really, that was my opinion. I think they're barking up the wrong tree. But when I saw CNN holding up an L.A. Times picture of a birth certificate, I said, you know what, I'm not going to take this as truth. This is garbage. So I said, okay, for my 8 million listeners a week, I'm going to get Philip Berg back on, registered Democrat, former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, who says Obama is not a citizen. Now, if you want to call Philip, either to ask him a question or challenge him, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. It's the Savage Nation. Mr. Berg, please be with us for a moment. Savage. It is very unusual for a former deputy attorney general of a major state and a registered Democrat to attack a sitting president who happens to be a liberal Democrat, yet that's what's happening right now in the Savage Nation. Philip Berg, you are a man amongst your peers with no equal. You're an outsider. Are you getting blasted by the Dems? Philip.
Yes.
Philip, are you getting blasted by your fellow Dems?
No, actually not. I'm actually shocked, but I think the reason is, over the years, like I told you, I ran for governor and U.S. Senate. The party actually doesn't endorse me because I'm too independent for them. So I really have not been approached by anyone to close my mouth on this. So they know
you're
that
not
I won't.
You're not planning on jogging in Marcy Park either, are you?
No, I won't do that.
I'm sorry. I have a dark sense of humor, but of course, you know, you're dealing with some of the most powerful people on earth. You've not received any letters, nothing? Nobody's saying, how dare you?
No. Well, you know, people are on our website, ObamaCrimes.com. People make comments, you know, and we get emails and we get phone calls, but none of the real threatened kind.
Wait till you go into talk radio, Philip. When you become a talk radio host, you'll have a lot of fun.
Oh,
Land of the free and the home of the brave until you speak out, and then you find out exactly what it really is. But let's go to the callers, because some of them doubt you, as you can expect. Wesley in Kansas City, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. Wesley, what is your question for Mr. Berg?
Well, my question is regarding the situation with the mother. If she was an American citizen born in Wichita, Kansas, doesn't it by law constitute him still to be an American citizen by the
birth? Yeah, Philip, doesn't that make him an anchor baby and a U.S. citizen automatically?
No, because you take the law in effect. If both parents were U.S. citizens, no question, wherever he's born, he's natural born. When one parent is a U.S. citizen, you go by the law in effect at the time of the birth. The law in effect on August 4, 1961 was that the American citizen, in this case the mother, had to have lived in this country for 10 straight years. She did, but five of those years had to be after the age of 14. 14 and 5 equals 19. She was only 18 years of age. Some people say it's a technicality, but that's the law. I didn't write the law.
Wait, Philip, if a Mexican comes across the border today, illegal alien, has a baby, isn't that baby an automatic citizen?
Yes, because the baby was born on U.S. soil. Obama was not born. They keep saying he was born in Hawaii. He was not. He was born in Kenya. After the November 4th elections, they had a day. They took a national holiday to honor that Obama was born there. I mean,
how do you know that to be? Does he acknowledge that in his own book?
No. Well, his book was written before that, but it was on the news. I mean, and the ambassador to.
So he was actually not born in America. He was born in Africa.
Yes, he was born.
That's a given fact that is acknowledged even by your detractors.
No, of course they go back to that document which you saw. Held up by the L.A. Times, that fraudulent document. That's the only document they've produced, and it's a fraudulent document. If he was born in Hawaii, why hasn't he produced his vault copy of his birth certificate, which would have shown where he was born with the doctor's signature and the hospital name? How come no one at these hospitals in Hawaii have come forth and said, we were there on the delivery date? You know, and we want some recognition because they would.
Well, what about the governor of Hawaii when she was presented with this? She's a Republican. Didn't she defer and basically duck the question?
She ducked the question. She said documents are sealed. All his documents are sealed. Two representatives from Hawaii made a statement, and a lot of people said, see, what they said is, we have seen the birth certificate, and it's here, you know, and we've seen the original birth certificate. But they never said it was from Hawaii. And I believe they didn't say it was from Hawaii because it's not from Hawaii. I think what happened is his birth certificate, he was born in Kenya. And when he came back from Kenya, what happened is that he in Hawaii, you have up to 1 year after the birth to register your child. And they've registered his child in the original.
Well, why didn't any of the other Democrats running against him, such as Clinton, bring this up since she was running, I mean, really to win? Why did she not bring up the birth certificate of Obama at the time when she could have a year ago?
I have no idea. And why didn't the Republican Party bring it up? And why didn't O'Reilly talk about this? The problem is...
Well, O'Reilly last night went soft on Islamic terrorists and attacked Geert Wilders. I never saw anything like it. O'Reilly. O'Reilly's the leprechaun for that reason.
Right. Well, what happens is here, we don't know all the deals going on behind the scenes, but there's a lot of deals here, all to the detriment of the United States at this point.
Have you been on the Leprechaun show with this topic, Mr. Berg?
No, people have written in, told him to have me on. He won't have me on.
Oh, no, the Leprechaun won't go into certain areas. I know that. Like, he's for gay marriage. He says there's global warming. So he does everything liberal, and he occasionally throws out a conservative bomb, and everyone falls for the malarkey. But, look, he's not the issue. The issue is the president of the United States. You're saying he's a fraud. He's not a citizen. This is serious stuff. Now, even if this doesn't take fire in the courts, Mr. Berg, this is going to percolate for years now. It's not going to end unless Obama ends it by getting up there and putting it to rest. Why doesn't he end it in a second?
Because he wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Kenya. And if he shows he was born in Kenya, then he would only be a naturalized citizen, could not be president. I don't think that even matters. I think if he was born in Hawaii, he loses his citizenship. When his parents divorce, his mother remarries, and he goes to Indonesia, and he's adopted by his stepfather, Lolo Sotoro, which meant when he came back to the United States, if he went through immigration, he would only be naturalized. And if not, if he didn't go through immigration, which is what we believe, he's an illegal alien, and he has no right to be in this country.
What hospital do they say he was born in Hawaii? Do they actually name a hospital?
Well, his half-sister, Maya, mentions in one interview that he was born at one hospital and in the other interview at the other hospital. So his family can't even get it straight.
So do they say Kapi'olani Hospital? Because I know that has a big maternity section. Do they name the hospital? Shouldn't it be as easy as going in there looking for the record?
Right, right. But I had a nurse who on the QT went through the records at the Kapi'olani Hospital and the other hospital. There's no such record of his birth on August 4th.
Oh, my God. This is a mind blower. Mr. Berg, can you stay with us for one more segment? Because the audience is just going to get bigger by the moment.
Sure. My pleasure.
All right. Look, I didn't want to go here, but I'm here because CNN made me go here. They held up a fraudulent document saying it's Obama's birth certificate from the LA Times. And here's the man who says it isn't. You want to comment one way or the other, call the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I haven't seen his birth certificate. I mean, don't you have to be real careful if you're a public official when you're talking about something like this? And it's not some schmo. I mean, this is the president of the United States whose legitimacy he's casting in doubt with that line. You got to be careful with what you say. And let me show you how easy it is to do it. I mean, look at this. Robert, can you shoot this? You want to see the president's birth certificate? Here it is. You know how we got this? One of my producers, Dexter, just went in, Googled it, and got it from the Los Angeles Times. The story's all over the place when it was out there. You would think, couldn't he do that before you say something that could be construed this way?
So he's criticizing Senator Shelby. It's a mouthpiece for CNN, claiming that the case is closed. But we have a liberal Democrat, former assistant attorney general, deputy attorney general, excuse me, for the great state of Pennsylvania, Philip Berg, who will not let this go. He says Obama is not a U.S. citizen, that this is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the American people. He has brought lawsuit upon lawsuit, which has been thrown out because the power structure does not want this to be heard. Now, we've all heard the phrase RINO, Republican in name only. That goes for most of the Republicans. I created a new phrase today, a new acronym called DINO, Democrat in name only. Unfortunately, there aren't too many dinos out there. I wish there were some of them. But Philip Berg is neither a rhino nor a dino. He's an independent man who wants the truth. Philip Berg, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
My pleasure.
Well, here we go again. Here we go again, and I'm going to take some callers for you, Philip. Have you thought about what you'd like to say to this new audience? Because with millions of, I have 8 to 10 million listeners a week. I don't know what that actually means per day, but it's very large. It's bigger than the San Francisco Chronicle, I can assure you. What would you say to the average listener across America now about why you're doing this?
I'm doing this to enforce our U.S. Constitution. Tens of thousands of men and women have died over the years to support, to defend, and to protect our U.S. Constitution. Arnold Schwarzenegger has been talked about president. He says, amend the Constitution. Barack Obama, in essence, says, I'm walking all over the Constitution. I don't care about it. There's nothing more important than our Constitution. We cannot let this usurper, this phony, Obama is he is constitutionally unqualified, ineligible to be president. He's a usurper. When the truth comes out, every law he signs will be wrong. They're all illegal. And I believe he's being blackmailed already, and wait till the international...
Now you keep saying blackmailed. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think the powers that be in this country know that he know that Berg, myself, is right, that he was born in Kenya. The world knows he was born in Kenya. And I think people said to him, do you want to be president? Then, you know, you're the candidate for change, but you're going to have to put in these people in our cabinet. And the cabinet is not a candidate for change. You know, his policies aren't candidate or change. I mean, he's talking here, he's talking, but, you know, there's a different person in office now. And wait till Kenya blackmails him. And wait till Iran...
Wait, what is the evidence? What is the... Let's start with your allegation that he was born in Kenya, not in Hawaii. What is the evidence that Obama was born in Kenya?
Well, first off, his paternal grandmother, Sarah Obama, and we have her recorded statement in Swahili on our website, states she was in the hospital with his stepbrother and stepsister when Barack Obama was born in Kenya. I mean, I think that's the biggest evidence we have that she actually spoke about that. The big thing we have is the fact that Obama has never produced one document. All his documents are under seal. The only document, this has been around for a year and a half, the question of his whether he's constitutionally qualified or eligible to be president. So significant, in June of 2008, on the official Obama website, they put up this document, a certification of live birth, to indicate that he was born in Hawaii. The document has been proven to be a fraud. It's a phony. It's been altered. I didn't get involved in this till 2 months later, in August of 2008. And my research, at first, I didn't even know about Indonesia. I didn't know about Pakistan, the problems he has there. I said, produce your birth certificate from Hawaii, I'll go away. He hasn't produced it. Instead, according to reports, he spent up to $1 million already fighting all the lawsuits that have come about all across our country. You mentioned one of my cases thrown out. The U.S. Supreme Court denied to hear my case and denied several injunctions, which I requested. But that case, which was dismissed in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, is still alive in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, where I filed our brief on January 20th, and briefs from Obama, the DNC, and the Federal Election Commission filed their briefs on February 17th. So we're waiting.
Boy, Philip, if I ever need a lawyer in Philadelphia, I know who I'm going to turn to. Boy, you don't let go. You must be known as a bulldog in the courts.
And I also have two other cases pending in the United States District Court. One I can't mention because it's under seal. I recently filed a motion to unseal the case. That will be very significant. We're waiting for a ruling from the court. There's another one I filed in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, Hollister versus Sotoro, a.k.a. Obama. That's a...
Well, Phil, hold on. Who's funding? Who is funding all of this? These legal cases? Is someone funding it?
No. Well, the people that go to ObamaCrimes.com and sending a contribution, which we appreciate it. Other than that, nobody. It's coming out of my pocket. It's costing me. I'm losing some of my own clients because I've been devoting about 20 hours a day, 7 days a week on this case.
Oh, my God. This has become a mission.
Significant than this case.
This is a mission of yours. It's almost like Mission Impossible. Look, Philip, you got a government under Obama that's spending money like crazy, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. You're actually saying if it's proven he's a non-citizen, that all of this spending could actually be wiped out? You could say they have to give the money back?
Absolutely. Everything he's doing here is illegal. Everything he is doing is voidable. There's nothing legal about him at this point. Why won't he release his college records? What's he afraid
of? I don't understand that. Wait a minute. Are you saying, let's go to Bush. Did everyone else release their college records before running?
I believe so. How about now Obama? They raised the question about McCain. He released his records. It can't have anything to do with grades because McCain graduated fifth from the bottom of his class at the Naval Academy. So it has nothing to do with grades. Why hasn't he released his records? The reason he hasn't, in my opinion, I could be wrong, prove me wrong, is I believe he applied for and received foreign aid. That's how absurd this whole thing is.
Oh, my God. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I'd like to have callers who doubt you, frankly, Philip, because I like to hear what the minds say. You know, people think of things I can't think of right now. I've asked all the questions I've asked. Let's go to the callers around America on the Savage Nation, a very powerful and large audience. In Sacramento, California, on the West Coast, of course, Paul, fire away. What would you have to say to Mr. Berg right now?
My question is, back in last year, you mentioned, Michael, about the border being different on a birth certificate. Has he investigated that from 1961 being different to 1962?
What, you mean the design of around the border of the alleged document? Mr. Berg, have you looked at that?
Yes, our expert goes into that. The border has changed each year, and the border on the is wrong for the year they plan. They say it's from. So the document.
Well, that's a big deal. That's sort of the first rule of the first step in proving a counterfeit certificate. The border you're saying around the birth certificate, the design of the border, does not match those similar of that year, others from that year.
That's correct.
Well, I would say that's a pretty big piece of evidence here, but then who's going to listen to any of this? Philip, the Democrats aren't backing you, obviously. By the way, how did Mr. Shelby come to say what he said the other day? Were you shocked?
I was shocked. I said, great, we're having a breakthrough, and then he backtalked a little bit. It's going to happen. It's going to break through because as the Republicans see what's going on in this country, they're going to start saying, hey, we got to say something about this guy. This is ridiculous. I mean, the Democrats are all going to be, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think as the Republicans do it, as the L.A. Times brought out because of the lawsuit out in California, as your listeners, the thing that your listeners can do is go to my website, ObamaCrimes.com, read it, and send it on to all of their friends on their address book and their email. If this were, I think 5, 10, 15 million people know about this right now. We have to raise it to 50 to 75 million. When the general public understands the fact that he won't even show a birth certificate, they're going to be outraged. We're going to turn this around, and your show can help turn it around. People go to
all right, Philip, what's the biggest show you've been on other than my show? What about television? Who has had you on?
Just some small stations. No, nothing. No major station has touched this.
Glenn Schmeck hasn't had you on?
No.
No, he's another party girl. Yeah, he's another company girl. You see, certain issues, none of these brave conservatives, these brave new conservatives, will touch. They're all within the bounds of the Republican Party. One quick caller here, Barbara in San Diego. Go ahead, please. Barbara, your comment.
Yes, sir. I saw on TV a couple of weeks ago President Obama speaking, it may have been taped, to Katie Couric, and he said his mother was single. He was born to a single mother. I've never heard anybody say, where's the marriage certificate between Obama's father and mother? And if he was adopted by the Indonesian father, then he would be an Indonesian, and his birth certificate would be changed to replicate or to say that his father was Indonesian. And who knows where a birthplace may have been on an Indonesian birth certificate.
Well, you know, you can say this is all conspiracy theory, but the founding fathers are very clear. You have to be a U.S. citizen to run for the presidency. Perhaps in their genius, they anticipated a day like this when an interloper like Obama would come along and run a fraud like this on the American people. Philip, isn't that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to be natural born. Natural born means born in the United States or meeting the requirements under the law at that time, and that his mother did not convey. I've never heard that, which Barbara just mentioned, that he said he was born to a single mom because he always talks about his father, you know, Barack Obama, you know, and his book is dedicated to his father. So I never heard that.
Unfortunately, his father went back to Kenya and thought he'd be a bigwig there after abandoning him as a young boy and his mother. And wound up a drunk and a failure as a low-life bureaucrat there. You know that. It's a sad story.
Sure. Many, many sad stories around him. But notice, does he ever mention, he mentioned his white grandmother. Has he ever mentioned recently his paternal grandmother? No.
Philip, can I ask a really off-the-wall question, and you don't have to answer this one. Do you remember that a few days before the election, his white grandmother was lingering and dying, and out of the blue, he took off from the campaign trail and visited her, and she died the next day? Did that strike you as odd?
Well, odd was the fact that on a Tuesday, he said, my grandmother is dying, I'm leaving in 20 minutes to go visit her. Then he didn't leave for 2 days. And then this is his white grandmother, most significant in his life. He doesn't take his wife or children, maybe not the children, but Michelle doesn't go with him to see the dying grandmother. And then he came back. She didn't die until she died on the eve of the election. So there's the rumors that she was dead before that, but he announced that she died on November 3rd, that evening, right before the election, November 4th. Going for a little sympathy, maybe?
Well, my mind runs a little more paranoid than that. Philip Berg is going to come back in a minute. I hope he can stay with us because we have a caller on the line named Ed who says he has proof that Obama was born in Hawaii. Philip, are you up for that call?
Absolutely.
Okay, stay on the Savage Nation and tell your friends what's coming up in a minute right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The miners came in 49, etc. Welcome back to the program. And again, I mean, this is a conspiracy theory, or is it? Philip Berg, Democrat, former Deputy Attorney General of the state of Pennsylvania. No, he's not a lightweight. He's not a Republican. He's not a neocon. He says Obama's not a U.S. citizen. He's perpetrated a massive fraud on the American voter, and he wants this exposed. Now, we have a caller, Ed. I don't know who Ed is, who says that he has proof Obama was born in Hawaii. Ed, welcome to the program. Ed, welcome. Are you on the air?
Hello, yes.
Ed, what is the proof that you say you have?
Well, I've seen circulating on the Internet a notice of birth from the Honolulu Advertiser newspaper that came out, I believe, on August the 13th, a few days after Obama's birth, and was wondering why there would be a notice in the Honolulu Advertiser if he were born in Kenya a few days after his birth. Why would that?
That's a fair enough question. What do you say, Mr. Berg? Did I disconnect?
Next door to that house.
Wait, Philip, I'm saying, start again, please. We lost the first part of your sentence.
Baby being born there in 1961, a baby, a black child. So anyone can do anything.
Whoa, Philip, I'm sorry, you lost me. The caller is saying he saw a notice of birth in the Honolulu newspaper. You're saying what?
It's an advertiser newspaper. It's like a neighborhood newspaper. Anyone can place any kind of advertisement in any paper. It's not in the major newspaper. It's like in a shopper's neighbor paper or something.
It's like a throwaway paper, like the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm joking.
Right.
But okay, I understand. Like a shopper's gazette.
Right, and anyone can put anything in, my children live elsewhere. I'm in Pennsylvania, and when they have a child, I can put the announcement in here. It doesn't mean they were born here.
Well, so who put it in there? When was it done?
No one knows, but it was some announcement back then. Who knows? Maybe one of his relatives, because I think she really wanted him to be born here, but she was too pregnant to come back to Hawaii, and she therefore delivered him in Mombasa, Kenya. But if the real thing is, where is his birth certificate? It's very simple. Any of your listeners out there, if they, most of them have it, they can reach for it. But if they're missing their birth certificate, within 3 to 5 days, spending up to $20, they can get a duplicate copy.
All right, hold on, Philip. We have very short time. What's your website again?
ObamaCrimes.com.
Hold on. Bill from New York, WOR. Bill, fire away. Question for Mr. Berg.
I'd like to ask Mr. Berg a question. If what you say is true, why is it you have lost all your lawsuits? And why can't you surreptitiously obtain a copy of his birth certificate from the hospital in Kenya?
Well, because all his documents are sealed. I haven't lost any. I've lost the Supreme Court has turned down my injunctions and turned down to hear the case. But that case is still alive in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. My other case is alive in a district court I can't mention. It's under seal. And another one's alive in the United States District Court in District of Columbia. So none of my cases have gone away. They're there.
But the next question is, why can't you find a birth certificate from Kenya, as you allege he was born there?
Well, Well, because we subpoenaed all kinds of records, and they came back even from the hospital in the two hospitals in Honolulu. You know what they told us? Have
no.
Barack Obama sign the request.
Because it's a medical confidentiality issue.
That's right.
Wow. Philip Berg, I wish you a great deal of luck. I don't know what else to say. I am only doing this because CNN says it's an open and shut case, and you say otherwise. And I think the American people deserve a definitive answer. Philip Berg, thanks for having the guts to go on with what you believe to be the truth.
My pleasure.
Cool. All right, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
All right, well, we're going to move on. I mean, that was a long hour we had with Mr. Berg, because if CNN's going to run propaganda, we're going to run counter-propaganda. And somewhere in between lies the truth. At least that's what I think. And speaking of hilarious propaganda, there was a funny job fair piece on CNN today. I couldn't believe it. I was eating my lunch, watching TV, and I said, okay, I got to play this. I caught a piece. They're covering a job fair in New York, where there's 1,000 jobs and 5,000 people lined up around the block in the freezing rain looking for jobs. You got to hear this in clip 24.
Freezing New York City weather could cause frostbite, but there were swarms of people lined up in the frigid cold with just one hope, finding a job. At this job fair, lines ran as far as the eye could see, but for many, the wait was short compared to the time that they've actually been out of work.
All right. And so they interviewed various people in the street who are waiting to get a job. And obviously, these people are looking for work. And truthfully, I mean, I wasn't laughing at them. I understand what it's like to be, you know, without a job and broke. But what I did laugh at was their unreality. Because listen to the next piece.
I thought it would take a few months. I have good skills. I have good education. And I just, you know, just people aren't hiring.
All right.
So it's just very difficult.
I'm trying to look in other industries because it just isn't happening. I'd like to stay in management, but I take even a sales job, but they're not even hiring for that.
Well, if you spend your nights looking for fun and getting drunk till 4 in the morning and running home without shoes, you know, and you get away with that during the boom times, or right now it's like crunch time, and nobody needs another, you know, chick out there looking for a job who has no skills, or a guy for that matter, who's fit for nothing. Because I didn't hear it. Now, wait, it gets worse. If you think I'm just being a crude guy who's an SOB, listen to clip 26.
Did you see anything that was similar in the people in line? Were they mostly working class, or was that, you know, blue collar?
Wait,
white
did you hear this? Were they mostly working class? This is a CNN hack who's lucky if she's going to keep a job another 6 months, has the nerve to say, are they working class, as though we're living with bread lines already? And somehow she's up in the austere heights, and everyone looking for a job is either working class already. We have the leftist rhetoric. Working class. What's working class, you dumb broad, you? Play this again.
Working class, or was that, you know, blue collar, white collar jobs that they were seeking?
You know, that's what was so interesting. I asked them, okay, well, how long have you been laid off? The range of answers differed, but also the kinds of jobs. Finance, insurance, party planning, personal assistant, some college students out looking for a first-time job.
Now, look, party planners, personal assistants, fine. I have nothing against party planners looking for a job. I have nothing against personal assistants looking for a job. Everyone is entitled to a job if they have qualifications and they're willing to work. But wait, this is where the story took a turn, which made me spit my turkey sandwich up and call production and said, hold it, stop the presses, get me this story. I was speechless when I heard what kind of jobs they were looking for. Listen, party planners and personal assistants, listen to this now.
They'll take any leads that they can get. A couple of the jobs, many of them in government, DHS, ICE, Drug Enforcement Agency, FBI. Those were some of the jobs being offered. Electric company, insurance companies. But again, really the people outnumbered the amount of jobs that are available.
Party planners, personal assistants are looking for jobs at the FBI. So you're an out-of-work party planner, and, well, you figure, what the heck, it's the government. I can always go and catch Osama bin Laden. Or let's say you were a personal assistant and your last job was fetching coffee for someone in the news business and you got laid off because they lost their job. Well, you could always go to work for the FBI and, again, stop the next bomb from going off in a subway because you're equipped for that job. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What's going on in this country? The disconnect from reality? Party planners thinking they're qualified for a job at ICE, DHS, or FBI? Or am I the one who doesn't understand that that's who is working at these companies or divisions? I don't know. You want to comment on this? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. These other stories, and this one is up on michaelsavage.com. Anything you want to talk about now is open to your amusement and mine. I guess the best news of the day is that my local funny paper, the Chronicle, will be sold off to the lowest bidder, because if no one bids for it, Hearst is finally going to throw in the towel. I'm going to make an offer right now on the radio show, because I think it'll be fun to hire those people at the Chronicle who have pretended I don't exist. Now, all these years I've been here in the Bay Area, my show was the biggest hit that ever hit radio. I went national. No one else ever did and succeeded. I have a huge audience, bestsellers, and they pretend I don't exist. What they don't know is that prior to the radical left taking over the paper, I was actually quite popular with the newspaper writers in the 70s before this band of losers took over the newspaper. So I'm going to make an offer right now for the Chronicle. I hope that the Hearst people are listening to the show, and I'm going to now appeal directly to the managers of the Chronicle who are looking for a buyer. And apparently their names are Benick and Schwartz. They said survival is the outcome we all want to achieve, but without specific changes, we're going to across the entire Chronicle organization, we'll have no choice but to quickly seek a buyer for the Chronicle. And should a buyer not be found, to shut down the newspaper. Now, I do not want to see the local newspaper shut down. I'd like to see it become a newspaper again. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be no buyers for it, but I'm willing to offer right now $100 for the San Francisco Chronicle. Do I hear 101? Why you want 101? I got 101. No, really. Frank A. Benick Jr., Hearst Vice Chairman and Chief Executive, and Stephen R. Schwartz. How do you have a name, Schwartz? I mean, where I came from with SCH, now it's... anyway, it's Schwartz, S-W-A-R-T-Z. That's like hiding the C-H, I think. But anyway, president of Hearst Newspaper said in a joint statement that they're going to take the highest bidder or close it down. So Michael Savage now on his national radio show with 8 to 10 million listeners a week is offering $100 to purchase the San Francisco Chronicle, but I will not purchase the debt with it. I'm going to make that very clear. The Chronicle lost more than $50 million in 2008. God, and is on a pace to lose more than that this year. That's about $1 million a week. I wonder why they're losing $1 million a week. Could it be because they hate families? That is real families as opposed to the fraudulent variety. Let's see, they hate the family, they hate the police, they hate the military. They hate the church, particularly the Mormon church. They hate conservatives, they hate borders, they hate language, they hate culture. They appeal only to you-know-who and also to the illegal alien. Now, since there are only a few in the you-know-who category, and illegal aliens don't buy English language newspapers, now you kind of understand the formula for disaster. And that's why I say I will buy the Chronicle, and I'm making a firm offer of $100 right now for this newspaper right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage. Extra, extra, hear all about it. Michael Savage offers $100 to purchase the San Francisco Chronicle, which has lost more than $50 million in 2008 and is on a pace to lose more than that this year. And I make that as a firm offer on this show, and I will not assume the debt. Although, on the other hand, there are actually advantages to assuming debt, which could actually pay for the purchase. But then again, if I really knew as much as I allege to know about that, I'd be on Wall Street instead of in talk radio. But I actually know as much about it as I allege to know, but I choose not to be a thief. Instead of being a crooked thief working on Wall Street, even though I know how to buy debt and make money on the debt, I choose instead to make an honest living on talk radio, speaking the truth to lies and the truth to power. Spokane, Washington. Ryan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was wondering why I haven't heard you really rant more about technology, in particular cell phones and MySpace and Facebook and these other...
Well, first of all, I don't rant. I do expostulations and such, but there are others in the business who might rant on it. What exactly is it that you'd like me to say to make you happy?
Well, everything you say makes me happy. Most of what you say makes me happy, actually. Now, you just made a comment a couple weeks ago.
No, you sounded like a younger woman who was a lib, you know, an Obamaite who wanted me to sound like a fool. No, but really, what are you actually asking?
I'm asking why I don't hear you speak about it more. And don't you think it's one of the major contributors to the downfall of our society, besides liberalism?
Oh, you want me to be a conservative old fuddy-duddy railing against space, MySpace, and all of that?
No.
Well, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I don't particularly go online to talk to people. I would rather talk to them in person. There are those who do, and it's just another way of meeting people. I don't see anything wrong with it. Eventually, they have to meet each other. Where their human qualities or lack thereof will show. I think it's a more efficient way than going to a bar, for example, and talking to 10,000 strangers until you meet your wife.
All right, I'll give you that. But
I'm saying, like, you know, I watch some of these eHarmony ads. You know, I don't know whether to believe them or not. You know, see happy couples. I don't believe it for a minute. But I would believe that if a person sends in a, you know, here I am, I like this, this is the... Like, what would your colors I like, and music I like, and I like whales, and I like, you know, trees, and I like guns, and all. So you meet a woman like that. Yeah, that's a good start. Can you imagine the amount of time you have to spend randomly trying to meet someone who you have to get through all of that with? So in that sense, I think it's a wonderful way to cut through so many wasted dates, for example.
What about the
cell phones? What's wrong with a cell phone? It's revolutionized communication. I think it's phenomenal. I know people who run billion-dollar businesses on cell phones. They can be anywhere in the world, and they're not imprisoned. It's freed people rather than imprisoned them.
You think so?
I know so. Well, I have a friend right now who's on vacation in a tropical paradise, still running a company that does a tremendous amount of business. This individual could not do this if he didn't have a cell phone and a BlackBerry.
But you don't think people are kind of walking around hypnotized, entranced by their little BlackBerries and cell phones, and they can't leave the house without...
Yeah, but you have less time for neurosis this way. There's less time to fear things. If you're on your BlackBerry with two thumbs, there's less time to worry about the eternal questions. This is much better this way. You just live thinking that you're conquering the universe by pressing keys on a BlackBerry. It's far better than facing the eternal questions that I had to face. You see that? I got you to laugh. I got you. So I take it you're not happy with all these technologies.
I think it's making people very dumb. I think they don't read as much as they used to.
Read? Why are you kidding me? They're reading BlackBerries. They're reading telegram messages on BlackBerries. No need for punctuation. No need for any kind of articulation. It's wonderful. Everyone's been reduced to the level of an ignorant rap musician. What could be better? You talk about democracy. Everyone's now down to a first grade level. What could be better?
It's cutting across all party lines. It's tripartisanship.
So have you tried to find a mate on one of these space pages or whatever?
Oh, I don't know. I met my husband in a bar, so, and we've been married for...
Okay. Thank you for the low blow. Women always win. But that was easy. I wanted you to give me a good gut shot.
I'm a big fan, and I'm not a lib. I'm articulate, but I'm not a lib.
And you also sound like you're a lib. That's the you could be a great reversal. You could really be. You could do a lot of damage to them up in Spokane. Thanks for being a good sport on the Savage Nation. So I have nothing. I have in my pocket, but I carry the old and the new technology in my pocket. I have, of course, a cell phone. It's people laugh at it. The young ones snicker. Look at that man with a fat cell phone. You know, they think slimmer makes them smarter. I love it. I just love it. What I love is you go into a hotel lobby where there's a bar, which I will do on occasion in San Francisco, and you see the poor young people, they're staring into their palm as though it's sort of a crystal ball. And in this crystal ball is all of their future and all of their hopes and dreams are tied up in their hand. And, of course, everyone's pretending that they're meeting someone there and that they just showed up a little early, even though they're looking for someone. And the chances of them meeting someone are diminished by the fact that they're not looking at anyone while they're really looking for someone, because they're looking into the palm of their hand to pretend that they're actually meeting someone. So as I say, I mean, certainly that inhibits the chance of meeting someone when you're looking into your own hand as though the future lies in your hand. I also, as a social observer, every time I walk past a telephone store now, I laugh to myself. I do have my own sense of humor, which keeps me going here. I walk past, like, Verizon, and it's always the same kind of, like, icky, creepy guys that look like they might be, you know, Pee Wee Herman's on the side. I don't know, like tight pants, weird haircuts, pointy shoes, and kind of like freaky faces. And you see women, you see people sitting at desks with them as though they're in confessionals. Go and look at the people in these Verizon stores as they talk to one of these creepy Pee Wee Herman salesmen about their telephonic needs. And it's as though they're in a confessional or in a psychiatrist's office of 10 years ago. And they're leaning over with their heart on their hand. And this is what I need. And this is what I'm looking for. And the guy's like, I think I have just the exact. This is their whole world is wrapped up in the latest thin telephonic device, which I can never understand. I feel as though I've landed on a strange planet. So in many ways, I do enjoy the current society. It's entertaining for me to look at these things as they go on. Devices, sure, I live on the computer. I'm on 12 hours a day. I'm going blind from it. Cell phone, I have a pocket watch that's not digital. It has a second hand and actual hands that glow in the dark, and it's round like a railroad guy's watch. It's a Timberland Swiss something or other, I don't know, watch from 20 years ago. I like to look at the time as the hand goes around. I didn't tell you this. What a great call for this. I also collect antique clocks. I don't have many. I like French bronze marble and such 19th century, early 20th century French three-piece sets. Okay, I have a few of them, and they're all running well. Well, this is strange. One of them, which I've had for 5 years, I bought at auction 10 years ago for $600. It was a steal because it was designed for the export market by the French in the 1890s, and it was designed for export probably to Syria or Egypt because it's designed like a mosque. And it's astounding. Both of the two side candelabra pieces are like little minarets, and the design of the green alabaster marble is that of a mosque. It's gorgeous. And as I say, the French design for overseas markets, it ran fine for 6 years. About a week ago, it stopped running. I happen to be in flux right now. I'm not going to disclose where, but I'm going to be moving the first week of March to an undisclosed state and an undisclosed location. Part-time, back and forth. No one's going to know where I am and when, and I'm not going to tell you why, where, or how. And it's as though this clock is a pet. It stopped running. I swear to God, I think that clocks have souls. I know that sounds crazy, but I know that pets have souls because they behave weirdly, too, when they know you're leaving them or you're ditching them or you're not thinking right about them. They start, you know, like peeing in strange places in your house, hopefully not in your shoes while you're sleeping at night. But again, even my dog is acting up, and I have to tell him, look, if you keep it up, you're not coming with me. Naturally, that makes him more nervous, so he does more of the sneaky stuff. And then I say, well, you're not coming with me, so he does it again that night. So it's a vicious circle. But the fact of the matter is, I also collect the antique clocks. And yesterday, last night, I had my clocksmith come over. I'm not going to divulge his name nor his story. But after work, I went home and I asked this clocksmith who came over, who was trained. You want to believe this story? Here he is working on my clock. He has a screwdriver that's a German screwdriver, maybe 70 years old. I look at it immediately and see the quality of the machining on the screwdriver. I know it wasn't made in China out of pressed steel. And I show him some tools that my father left for me when he died. You won't believe how beautiful these things are. And we're talking about tools and clocks and watches. And I said, didn't you have to apprentice to become a clocksmith? He said, yes, I did. He said, I had to become an apprentice for several years. And in order to pass the apprenticeship exam, I had to make a clock. We all did. I said, well, when you die off, I mean, he's an elderly gentleman. Are there any people around who still can fix a clock? He said, surprisingly few. And that's it. So I said, I don't know. Well, all these clocks are going to stop and not run again because there's no one learning how to fix a clock. Now, why would somebody waiting online in New York City in the freezing rain for a job with DHS, ICE, or FBI want to learn how to fix a clock when they might actually have to go to school, master a trade, pass an exam, when in the option they could just simply go to work and sit on their behinds as though they're still in college, go out at night and get drunk and come to work in the morning and try to capture Osama bin Laden or his minions before they set off another bomb in the subway? Because after all, if you grew up on cell phones and the internet and you never had to prove anything because you were just pushed ahead in school because of various and sundry liberal policies, you assume that you're as good as the next person when you've never been tested. Now, it may turn out that you are actually as good as the next person, if not better. But because of the liberal educational system, many kids don't even know what they're capable of and they think, therefore, they can do anything. So as I say to you, my friends, life is interesting, and 09 is going to be fine, because I think, number one, 09 is my lucky number. It always has been since I'm a little kid, and I wanted an outdoor carnival on Longfellow Avenue as the gypsies came around with those horses and tents and such, and I gambled and won and had a pocket full of change and said, wow, I'm lucky. 9 is my lucky number. So 09 is fine. God willing, everything will be good. The movie will be made. People are wonderful. And I'll be back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, the little website that could. Well, B-O to B-S-U-S tonight. What does that mean? B-O will B-S the U-S tonight. And his main message is, we must spend to save. Now, of course, those drug-induced idiots who voted for him think that that makes sense. I've never heard of spending what you don't have in order to save what you never had. But apparently, the anointed one can get away with anything with the drug-addicted mobs out there, those who are looking for a government handout and a government job. The fact of the matter is, B.O. will B.S. the U.S. tonight, only I'm not buying. There's another little report for those of you who thought that the Democrats were more honest than the Republicraps. Biden's son and brother are tied to the disgraced Texas billionaire, Alan Stanford, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's right, old Joe Biden. His brother and his son ran a fund of hedge funds marketed by companies controlled by disgraced Texas billionaire R. Allen Stanford. What did you expect with Nancy Pelosi in the House Speaker's position and Barack Hussein Obama in the White House? You expected an honest, ethical administration? Well, the Dem pigs now want $400 billion more from you. That's right. A $410 billion spending bill unveiled yesterday will fund the government for the rest of the fiscal year. That includes the Center for Grape Genetics in upstate New York. Here's another story on my website, michaelsavage.com. The Associated Press, oh my God, they hit a new low. They're actually sympathizing with a Gitmo detainee who will now sue the United States for being tortured, when of course he was treated better than he was in his original country of Krapistan. Acorn digs in to keep owners in their homes, meaning they're rioting and threatening. Far-left dirty fundraiser at the Commerce Department? Possibly. President Barack Obama's likely third pick for Commerce Secretary is former Washington Governor Gary Locke. Well, you have to look into Gary Locke to see what kind of work he's done in the past and what kind of fines he's paid in the past for somewhat dirty work in the past. There are other stories on michaelsavage.com. Soros' hedge fund, I keep telling you, went up 8% during 2008 while others were crashed. Has anyone looked into this? Certainly not the SEC. He owns them. How about the FBI? Has anyone looked into the FBI looking into Soros? How is that possible? How about the connections between Timothy Geithner, our elf-like Treasury Secretary who has never run a hot dog stand, and George Soros, who apparently uses him like a puppet? In New York, it seems everyone's a Madoff guy. We heard of the word maid guy, but you never heard the phrase Madoff guy until now. You see, the city's pension system is collapsing under the weight of payments it makes to more than 10,000 retired cops, all under the age of 50. That's why I say everyone's a Madoff guy. just a matter of scale. Baskin-Robbins Skion lost 98% of his savings with Madoff. But, hold on, he's not unhappy because he's still got his progressive attitude to fall back upon. Many of you would fall back on your swords or fall forward on your swords, but he's falling, I guess, forward or backward, or both forward and backward, on his progressive credentials. One last note, apparently the Skion, if that's what they're called, I don't know what a Skion is. I think it's the son of a rich man who never did anything in his life. Actually walked away from the Baskin-Robbins fortune. You see, it was too dirty for him. And he went out on his own, and now he's broke. I wonder which way he'll turn. Something tells me he's not going to look for a government job. There are other stories on MichaelSavage.com. Hillary's mockery of Obama proves true. Illegal alien charged in girls' abduction. Oh, well, you know, another illegal alien, another child rape. What the heck? And on the bottom, we have an interesting story that's from Hollywood. David Beckham, remember him? Remember Victoria Beckham when they touched down in Los Angeles 2 years ago? Like celebrity meteors showering sparks of attention about which restaurants they would favor? Well, now they say in the LA Times the Beckham's flame has shot out. And that's it from MichaelSavage.com, except for one story I missed. A great story on the bottom right that you have to print. If you have an IQ over 90, you have to read this one. Iran is dying as the birth rate plummets. And the writer, who's a genius and who was anonymous, says, contrary to conventional wisdom, it appears that Islamic theocracy promotes rather than represses social decay. How's that for moral, for morals? Read it on MichaelSavage.com, a little newspaper that's doing better than most of the newspapers in America. I guess they got a lot to learn from me. Now on to the show. Here's what I've been talking about today. Obama's speech, earmarks in the spending bill. George Soros. Obama's speech? What is he saying tonight? Does it really matter? We know what the bottom line is. You got to spend to save. That's sort of like LBJ's, we got to kill for peace. And the Republican response? What Republican response? Where are the Republicans? Some hack will get up there and say that people in talk radio are debasing the Republican message and that they're not true conservatives because the only true conservatives are those who agree with the Democrats. There is no loyal opposition. There is no opposition. And surprise, there are earmarks in the spending bill. 9,000 of them in the new spending bill. Another promise broken by Barack Hussein Obama, or B.O., and more of your money down the drain. And what do you want them to spend the money on? Well, if you want to go to MichaelSavage.com for the details, you won't believe your eyes when you look at the earmarks in the bill. George Soros. Why does the media still refuse to talk about Soros' connection to the financial collapse? But I refuse to be silenced. When will America wake up to the fact that Obama is merely a puppet in the hands of master financial manipulators, in my opinion? Now that Hussein Obama has taken office, the demon cat's vocab has taken on an Orwellian turn where black means white, up is down, and 2 + 2 = 7. When it comes to nationalizing the banks, Senator Harry Reid told reporters at a press conference not to call it nationalization. So when the government takes control of a bank stock, it's not called nationalizing. It's called Obamaizing. When Barack Obama decided to send more troops to fight terrorists, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the House of ill repute, who railed against Bush's use of troops, steered clear of using the term escalation. Instead, she called it Barackization. Mrs. Speaker, will you please explain to me how Barackizing troops somehow becomes not escalating troops? But the most laughable example of demon cat doublespeak has been Barack Obama himself saying that his so-called stimulus package, which I call porkulous, contained no pork. Barack gave it the bland and misleading label of stimulus spending. I've talked about how the latest $410 billion package from the congressional demon cats includes provisions for tattoo removal, midnight basketball. How are they going to explain these classic examples of pork barrel spending away? It's easy. They're going to call it the opposite of what it is without batting an eye. They know that they can try and change the nature of truth with the use of language. And since the American people no longer can think or speak, since they're looking at internet pornography, sports, and bad movies, I suppose Obama can get away with anything. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back. Savage. Obama's plan to get us out of this economic crisis we're facing is to spend money we don't have. Bailout after bailout. Now this giant porculus bill is rewarding companies with more of our tax money. It's totally insane. Joining us now is commentator and venture capitalist Bill Glynn, who says the government is more like our new stockbroker.
Michael, thank you so much for having me on. I'm a big fan, of course, of Savage Nation. I think I was going to chew through walls once I read your book. So I'm going to start for the listeners, and I want to put a perspective in everyone's mind. I'd like to look at the United States of America as a company. My opinion is this, and I'll come right out of the gate with it. If the United States of America was a company, our CEO, our board of directors, our management team, every single one of those guys would be fired at a minimum. You know, the way they've managed the country, I would say, and I go as far as to say that some of them would be in jail, basically spending our country right into bankruptcy as if we weren't already bankrupt.
Good point.
Now let's say that Obama comes out and he's the CEO of our nation. So he presents the stimulus package.
What's your opinion with the stimulus?
My opinion with the stimulus is that this is economic Viagra. So Viagra works for a short period of time, and certainly it's going to stimulate the political landscape. I think everyone's going to get a rise out of having passed this $780 billion stimulus package. All this money that's going to be spent, and all this money is going to be spent on infrastructure. I mean, what are you going to do with the 50,000 Citigroup workers? You're going to put them on roads and bridges and have them start digging holes? I mean, we're going to create massive underemployment as well as future unemployment. Even Bernanke said that the economic conditions of this country are going to extend way beyond 2009. My opinion is that is absolutely true, and I don't see 2010 looking any better.
How about the auto bailouts?
We give these guys $20 or $30 billion to shore up their companies. But after it's done, who's going to buy cars? I mean, there's no one out there right now buying cars, so let alone who's going to buy cars in the future. I mean, you've got millions of people that have gone bankrupt, millions of people with 30, 60, 90-day lates on their credit. These consumers, as part of our underlying consumption economy, they're out of the market. They're not buying this year, next year, or any time in the near future.
How bad is it really? Are they making some of this up?
Right now, $11 trillion in debt. Last year alone, we had to accumulate an extra $412 billion in interest. Now, here's a key fact. The government runs on a cash accounting system. That means they can look at the current state of affairs, money in, money out, and paint that picture to the American audience. Well, really what they should be working on is an accrual-based system so that we can look at all these contingent liabilities. For instance, $5 trillion as a contingent liability to support Freddie and Fannie. Now, that isn't promoted very much and certainly not recorded as part of our balance sheet. What about the $99 trillion that's going to be required for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, extending way out into the future? In order to fund that, we should have about $40 billion right now in the bank just so that it can accumulate over time and make some money for us. And, you know, I say that, and it really should be in the trillions just so that we can actually fulfill those obligations. Now, in addition to all of that, think of this. The national debt, over 30% of it, is actually owned by federal agencies like Social Security, like Medicare, like Medicaid. I mean, look at Madoff and his Ponzi scheme. Just think of robbing Peter and paying Paul. I mean, essentially, we're paying into those systems that are broke. The government is borrowing the money and then sticking treasuries right back in it. I mean, it's just, I don't know, to me, horrifying. And we're dependent on the entire world to allow us simply to sell more of our debt just to even finance the interest on our debt, let alone consistently rolling over that debt. That's how the banks were caught. Now, in my opinion, we are wide open to what I refer to as economic war. Basically, if China or Russia didn't show up at our next treasury auction, sold a bunch of treasuries into the marketplace, unloaded our currency into the marketplace, essentially lost confidence in our system, that's it. That is the end of our 300-plus year history as a capitalist nation. That will take us down. No one has to hit the World Trade Center where I used to work. No one has to bomb the Pentagon. All they have to do is attack the capitalist nation at its very core, which is our financial ability just to finance our debt, And even today, Hillary Clinton's out there, you know, pandering to the Chinese to buy more of our debt. I mean, it is just crazy that we've gotten ourselves in this position.
Exactly.
We need an Office of Financial Defense, just like Homeland Security. And I think the CIA agrees with me that the largest problem facing our nation right now and nations around the world is economic collapse. If that is true, then why are we allowing unchecked, unbridled spending within our lawmaking body without significant private, some of the most accomplished executives in our country overseeing that? If we had an Office of Financial Defense, do you think that our budget would be so upside down? Do you think our economy would be run this way? I mean, lawmakers are supposed to make laws, and 90% of all their time is spent on what? Spending money.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with laws. It is spending. America has inherited a new stockbroker. And the fact is that this stockbroker, for yourself, you didn't appoint this stockbroker, but you now have, as a shareholder of this nation, a whole portfolio that your stockbroker has essentially bought for you. That's called a discretionary account. So the government has discretion over the dollars, the trillions, and it just started out, let's say, with $1 trillion. So in your account, the government now on your behalf has gone out and lent money all over the place. And this is high-risk money. And I'm a venture capitalist, and I know for a fact this is venture capital 101. You're lending money, you're using very high interest rates because of the risk. That's why the interest rates are so high. It's risky money. You're holding stock right now of AIG. Like Oliver, they're all stepping up and saying, please, sir, can I have more? And everybody is asking for more. The auto industry, which you hold stock in now. The insurance industry, which you hold stock in now. I mean, the government's about ready to go in and buy treasury stock out of Citigroup. I mean, essentially, again, the government is doing venture lending and venture capital in the hopes that this fund, let's call it a fund, will get completely repaid. And in venture capital, the whole way you do business is, let's say you put $10 million into 10 companies. Well, typically, even if you're really good, 7 to 8 of those companies are going to go bankrupt. And you hope that in that portfolio, that the $10 million you put into, let's say, a Cisco Systems or an Apple Computers is such a huge return that it's going to not only pay back all the money, that it's also going to significantly increase the amount of the investment. Hence why venture capital achieves these very risky, very high returns. Hopefully, the debt isn't just down a black hole.
So you think this venture could work out?
In my opinion, it's not going to work out all that great.
Thanks, Bill. I have a feeling that you may be right on this. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
As you know, Obama just shoved the $787 billion stim package down the throats of the American people. Apparently, it wasn't enough for him. Now the demon cats want an additional $410 billion of your money to spend. And this is a spending bill which contains 9,000 earmarks. Earmarks which Obama promised we wouldn't have. Now, he does have large ears, large enough, I'm sure, to hold the earmarks. But even 9,000 is a little too many earrings for this number of earmarks on those small ears. But among the highlights of those earmarks are $2.2 million for the Center for Grape Genetics in upstate New York. That should be a job creator. $143,000 for Manhattan's American Ballet Theater. Tons of jobs there for the average Joe. $500,000 for a Senate program to defray the cost of mass mailing postcards to constituents. Well, that should put the post office to work. $200,000 for a tattoo removal violence prevention outreach program. I can't even categorize it. A tattoo removal violence prevention outreach program. I wonder which grifter sold that to the Obama administration. $5.8 million for the Ted Kennedy Institute for the Senate. We understand it contains a mock Chappaquiddick Creek and Bridge, and that's where most of the money is going, is to build the actual creek and bridge, rebuild it in a model form to show the car going over, him swimming away, and Mary Jo Kopechne drowning to death. $473,000 for the National Council of La Raza. No, you're kidding. Almost $500,000 as a reward to this racist group, La Raza. As I've said again and again in this program, La Raza means the race in Spanish. And apparently the government likes the race more than it likes all races. Well, Obama said that he lied about earmarks. No, he didn't. Of course he didn't. Will he attempt to justify the way in which he socialized America so far? Undoubtedly. Will he demand more money for still more socialist programs to reward more cronies? Well, sure. I said time and time again in this program that no one has ever said no to Obama, from his childhood through his early career. No authority figure has probably ever said, stop, you can't do that. He was the anointed one. So he's developed a sense of self-righteousness and political invincibility. And now that a weak deed Congress has submitted to the master on the stimulus bill, he will continue to ask for more and more and more because they've always said yes in the past. And until someone is willing to stand up and say, no, stop enough, you're draining the treasury dry, he'll continue to steamroll America into submission. It's not enough with the mortgage bailout, bank bailout, porculus bill, tattoo removal. When is it going to stop? Well, the auto companies are back in Washington to discuss their reorganization plans from their first multi-billion dollar bailout. Joining us today to talk about it is Nicholas Loris with the Heritage Foundation.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael. This week, General Motors and Chrysler returned to Washington with their reorganization plans, and to little surprise to anyone, they came back asking for more money. Now their request is $22 billion more in additional loans on top of the $17.4 billion they've already received last December from the U.S. Treasury under the Bush administration. We at the Heritage Foundation are advocating that bankruptcy is really the best option for these companies. It's been too long for these companies to keep receiving more taxpayer dollars, and if they get money a second time, it's just going to be inevitable. They'll come back for a third time and probably a fourth. What we're saying is a bankruptcy is the best option. It'll allow these companies to restructure, reduce unnecessary costs, and reorganize some of their pension and high labor costs. In an economic downturn, it's no surprise that these companies aren't doing well right now. GM sales are down 49%, Chrysler's fell 55%, and non-Detroit companies aren't doing much better. Toyota sales dropped 32% and Nissan's dropped 30%. So it's without question that the economic downturn has exacerbated these problems, but a lot of these problems have been, the wrongdoing, the management decisions of GM Chrysler in the past.
But why give them more? They haven't used the last bailout money wisely.
They haven't, and giving them more money gives no indication or signals to the taxpayers that their money will be well spent. These companies are deeply troubled right now. The economic recession is not going anywhere. People just aren't buying cars right now. And if taxpayers give the auto companies more money, it's unlikely that we're just going to be throwing good money after bad. And the second round of handouts will just become bad money as well. And inevitably, we'll be heading down a slippery slope of more bailouts for more companies arguing that they're too big to fail.
Are there any oversights for this money?
Well, they put together a politburo of so-called experts led by a financial analyst, and also Timothy Geithner is overseeing a lot of these decisions. They're meeting with the CARSAR team. The GM and Chrysler executives are meeting with the CARSAR team this Thursday to hash out some details and see if they can cut costs and work with the United Auto Workers Union to eventually renegotiate plans and come up with a plan for long-term viability. But they've demonstrated in the past and even recently that they've been unable to do that.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
It looks like the Treasury is taking this very seriously, as have they last time. But it looks like they could be advocating bankruptcy this time, which would ultimately be the best option. I think they understand now that mistakes might have been made in the past, and giving them more handouts won't help the situation. And the deeper this recession lasts, the longer these handouts will last. So I think the Treasury and the CARSAR team is going to look at this very carefully. And it'd be unfortunate if they do give them more money, and instead they should really advocate for a bankruptcy.
So what happens if they do file bankruptcy?
GM and Chrysler have been saying that it'll cost $100 billion to finance a bankruptcy. And a lot of analysts are saying that's just a scare tactic because they fear that if they do declare bankruptcy, people won't buy their cars because they won't buy a car from a bankrupt company. But these troubles of GM and Chrysler are to no secret to anyone. I think everyone's well aware of the issues that's surrounding GM and Chrysler right now. So if there's any reason that they're not going to buy a car, it's not because of bankruptcy. It's merely because we're in a recession. And the reason that these people aren't going to buy cars is that consumer confidence just isn't up right now. So under a bankruptcy, when people realize that these companies can restructure, it signals to them that they're on the path to profitability. And this bankruptcy will be better for the consumers and these car companies in the long run.
Bailout after bailout, money thrown down the drain. How long is this going to go on?
That's a very good question. It might be as long as the recession lasts. It seems like every company is willing to argue that they're too big to fail and they need more money from the government and from the taxpayer to get out of this recession. And, you know, that's just not the way it works. If people don't want to buy products, then they should be allowed to fail. If we have governments subsidizing unsuccessful companies, we're going to have a lot of products on the market that nobody wants to buy, and that's not going to help the U.S. get out of the recession. It's the companies that should fail should be allowed to fail, and the companies that innovate and create new products that people want to buy will eventually be the winners. But if you're putting the innovators at a competitive disadvantage, if you continue to subsidize the fails.
Thanks, Nicholas. We can't afford to reward companies for their failures and bad business practices.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate you having me.
This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Talk about the garbage coming out of Hollywood, the anti-American, anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-military, anti-police crap. The industry has lost its glamour and class and has turned into a liberal elitist, well, you can call it a bullhorn, it's just propaganda. Joining us now is Jeff Kuhner with the Washington Times to talk about Hollywood and our decaying morality.
Michael, the Academy Awards are now over. All the glitz and the glamour, all the hype, and the constant fawning and chatting in the media is now finally come to an end. And when after everything is said and done, what has Hollywood produced over the last year? They've had their Oscars, they've had their Academy Awards, they've given out awards for Best Director, Best Picture, Best Actor, and Best Actress. When you run down the whole list of movies, Michael, what I find to me most shocking and what stands out is how little of social value anything that Hollywood produces is anymore. Look at the movie that won Best Picture, Slumdog Millionaire. It was the only good movie that frankly got my attention this year, and here's the catch. It's not American. And yet Hollywood was there celebrating this film, going on and on about what a wonderful movie it is, thinking that somehow this is going to show their liberal sensitivity to the fact that they're celebrating a non-American Indian film. And yet, if you look at that film, it is a film that stands in stark contrast to everything else Hollywood was producing. It is a story about love. It is a story about eternal themes, about people living in the slums in India, trying to get ahead in life, trying to struggle to get away from evil, from oppression, from greed, to people who have young love, eternal love, romantic love. In other words, it was the kind of movie that Americans, that Hollywood used to make 50, even 40 years ago, with the likes of Bette Davis or Richard Burton or Elizabeth Taylor. And yet, opposite Slumdog Millionaire, opposite this Indian movie, what did Hollywood, what did American directors produce? Well, let's look at Revolutionary Road with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. It is a movie that is a running assault against suburban life, against the family, and it celebrates and rationalizes adultery and abortion. Then we look at The Reader with Kate Winslet and some other actors. It is a story set in Germany after the Nazis, in which a female concentration camp guard has sex, I kid you not, with a 15-year-old boy. And it is the story about this boy and his mixed relationship and feelings with this woman after it comes out that she actually helped guard a concentration camp in which Jews were imprisoned and then literally burned to death. This is the kind of stuff that Hollywood is producing. But to me, the icing on the cake was the movie that won Best Actor for Sean Penn, or should I say Comrade Sean Penn, with his movie Milk, celebrating the first openly gay politician, Harvey Milk. Here you had Sean Penn accepting his award. And when he receives his award, he goes on a rant, and he goes on about how people in California who voted for the ban on gay marriage, that their children and their grandchildren will look upon them with shame and humiliation at this tremendous assault against human rights and civil rights and dignity of the homosexuals and gays and lesbians across California. Well, I have news for Sean Penn. He may run around to Iran and visit the mullahs and tell them how great their revolution is. He may go to Castro's Cuba and celebrate the supposed socialist paradise. He may go to Hugo Chavez's Venezuela and apologize for the supposed sins of America. But if he actually looked at Iran, he would see that homosexuals are literally being hung and crucified. That if he went to Cuba, that Castro's jails are full of homosexuals. That Chavez is no friend of gays and lesbians. But he won't open his eyes, because for him, the only thing that matters is to put America down, to shame America, to attack America, to attack the family, to attack our patriotism, to attack American capitalism, and everything that America holds dear and stands true for. And here is the thing that Sean Penn and his fellow leftists in Hollywood do not and cannot understand. Gay marriage is not a civil rights issue. And the reason why it's not a civil rights issue is this. If he would just open a book and read once, he would understand this fact, because it goes back for 2,000 years in Western civilization. Marriage is not about feeling good. Marriage is a sacred act between a man and a woman to have children. Marriage has been the institution, the bedrock institution, by which generation to generation we further the human race, and we have been able to build from one generation to another. It is the primary mechanism by which one generation passes on to another generation. If we have gay marriage, if we destroy the institution of the nuclear family, we not only have moral anarchy, but in the end, we have civilizational death and destruction. A civilization with homosexuals is a dead civilization, because it is a childless civilization. The purpose of marriage, fundamentally, is to have children and to raise children and to socialize them so we can go on from society to society, generation to generation, perpetuating ourselves. This is what Sean Penn cannot understand. And all of these perverts in Hollywood who go on about somehow this homosexual movement and this gay rights movement being somehow on the cutting edge of societal evolution, they should look at ancient Rome. They should look at ancient Greece. Because we are now in this country replicating everything that was done for hundreds of years in Rome and Greece. And it led to their destruction and their disintegration. Homosexuality, polygamy, rampant sex and promiscuity, an obsession with fame and glamour and glory, where Rome once bestrode the world like a colossus, producing patriots. It ended up giving bread and circuses, and the population eventually died because it no longer cared for Rome. It no longer wished to defend Rome. We no longer have bread and circuses. What we have instead is big government and Hollywood. That is our entertainment. And what you saw in Hollywood with the Academy Awards were the shock troops of a cultural revolution for the last 30 years. And Michael, you often talk about fascism on your show. You often talk about communism on your show. And you're right. The evils of fascism and communism should never be forgotten, because there are many in Washington who are putting us on the very same road that we have seen with 20th century dictators. But the greatest revolutionary of the 20th century, ironically, was not Adolf Hitler, nor was it even Lenin and his Bolsheviks. It was Hugh Hefner and the Playboy philosophy. Because Hugh Hefner, when he created that smut magazine Playboy, he didn't just create a pornographic magazine. He created a new philosophy. He created what he called openly the Playboy philosophy, which can be boiled down to one principle. If it feels good, do it. And in the pages of Playboy, you saw year after year, decade after decade, starting in the 1960s, championing the sexual revolution, personal liberation, the attack on the family, the defense of gay rights, the defense of bisexuality, the defense of the, quote, transgender community. In other words, every perversion known to man came out of Playboy magazine and out of the pornographic culture that it spawned. And what has this culture wreaked? What has it produced over the last 30 years? We have destroyed millions of homes through divorce. Pornography is now everywhere on the internet. Teenage illegitimacy is soaring. You now look at people, broken homes, broken lives, broken families. STDs are now everywhere, especially in our high schools. Our youth are lost. And most importantly of all, what the left has been trying to do is to reduce us to animals. We have become sheer materialists. And that's why, Michael, I just want to say this to you and to all of your listeners. If you are tired of your most fundamental values being trampled on, if you are tired of these people going up and making stupid political speeches on behalf of gays or homosexuals or communist Cuba or Iran or pick your cause of the day with these people, then don't buy their movies. Don't buy the tickets. If Sean Penn wants to celebrate homosexuality and the destruction of the American family, don't buy any movie with Sean Penn in it. If George Clooney wants to write movies and do movies where the CIA is portrayed as this rogue agency, bumping people off, and America is the root of all evil in the world, and not the terrorists, don't buy any of his movies. And sooner or later, they will learn that their stupid activism, their radical chic, their anti-Americanism will cost them where it hurts, and that is their wallet. And in the end, when they have to choose between their wallet and their principles, they always choose their wallet, because that's Hollywood. At its core, when you scratch it beneath everything, behind all the hype, all the pretense, all of them spewing leftist platitudes and leftist propaganda, you will find a whore. They are hungry for money, and they will do anything for money. They are mercenaries in the end. And that's why we American people should now demand. We want wholesome entertainment that reflects our values and our principles as a nation. This is Jeff Kooner with his weekly special report to the Savage Nation. Michael, thanks again. See you next week.
Thanks, Jeff. Watching this once great industry has become rather painful. Maybe they'll turn it around once it affects their pocketbooks. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.